see her from the pulpit, and she was out like 3 seconds into the sermon, and so I felt like I did a pretty good job this morning. Tonight, I'm excited to get to be here. I want to thank Colin for asking me to get to come and be with y'all. You know, Decatur is kind of like our second home. We love to be with you guys, and of course, we especially love to be with you at Maywood. And I don't know, there's several of you who don't come to Maywood, and I want to encourage you to make sure that you're a part of that. It's a great time during the summer to come and enjoy being with one another, to be encouraged by each other, and to spend some time a little bit secluded from the things that we usually take part in and just get to be together. So I want to encourage you to do that. Make sure that's a priority in your life. I know that your theme or the idea behind the lessons during this area-wide series is to be more like Jesus and what Jesus is like. And tonight, I want to talk to you about the fact that Jesus is a fighter. Now, I'm not asking you, you know, to start fisticuffs right here in the pews. Let's wait and fight a little bit later. But Jesus is a fighter. And we're going to explore that a little bit tonight and hopefully encourage you to consider the fights that you take part in. Because the truth is, we're all in a fight, right? We're all in a fight. There are fights that we have to participate in that sometimes we get drug into, but we're in a fight, okay? One time when I was a little guy, I was sitting in the back seat with my sister. We were on our way to Texas, and it was a long trip, right? And so as we're driving, I would pick at her. And I just kept on, you know, getting on her side of the back seat and bothering her. And she said, if you do it one more time, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. My dad was sitting in the front, and he'd heard us bickering back and forth. And he said, listen, if I hear another word from the back seat, we're pulling this car over, and you're both going to get whoopings. And so we're driving, you know, and I just can't stand it. I'm just kind of looking at her, you know, and figure about that time I look over at her and she's got these crazy eyes and she just punches me right in the nose. Blood. I scream like a girl, of course. The car's pulled over and we both get whoopings on the side of the road. And she looks at me as Dad is just finishing with her last lick with a belt. And she says, it was worth it. I didn't realize that. It was not worth it to me, but we both got whoopings, and it was worth it to her. But the fact is, we are all in a fight, and it's not a fight that we can avoid. It's upon us, and we must fight. And so as we face each day, we face the battles of each day, I think there's a few things that we see from the message of the Lord that we should be like Him, that we should grow to understand our role in this fight. First, we've got to choose the good fight. There's a lot of different fights we can be a part of, right? We need to make sure we choose the battles, the fights that are important, that are high in priority when it comes to spiritual truth. You see, there's plenty of things that we could do. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, fight the good fight for the true faith, holding tightly the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. He says, you hold on to what's true. You fight the good fight. Don't just fight any fight that comes up. Don't pick these fights. You fight the good fight. It's a good practice to realize, to know what you would live for, is to realize what you would die for. You should make a list sometime of the things that you would die for and compare those things with the things that you spend most of your time doing. Because most of the time, what we spend our time doing should translate into the thing that we love the most, right? To the things that we cherish or the things that we value more than, say, those things that we do less. And it's something to think about because maybe the people who we're around or the people who we're doing those things with or the people who we're doing those things for would be those important things in our lives that hopefully are leading us closer to Jesus and not further away. If someone was coming to you and said, hey, I see you've got a nice car, but I'm taking it from you. Is that something that you would fight for? Is that something that you would want? Some of us are like, yeah, definitely. I like my truck, right? Some of us would fight for that, right? Or somebody came and they were saying, well, I'm going to take your little brother. You'd be like, hey, this is a good day, right? No, you should fight for your brother. We love our little brothers, right? And so there's a good fight, and there's lots of worthless fights that are out there. But I want to encourage you to remember that faith is worth fighting for. Like it or not, you're already in a fight. Like it or not, we're already there. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, it tells us, don't let evil conquer you, but you conquer evil by doing good. And in 1 John 4 and verse 4, it says, you belong to God, dear children. You've already won a victory over those who are contrary to Christ, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. He says, you've already conquered. You've already overcome. You are in victory because you're with Jesus, because you continue to live with Jesus and walk as Jesus would walk. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, it says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture those rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ. Just today, I was literally a little bit late getting into the auditorium to preach this morning at church. And one of our young ladies, I saw her sitting in a chair in the foyer. And so I just wanted to check on her like anybody would. So I just went over and said, you okay? She said, I'm really fighting depression. I said, well, what's going on? She said, I keep thinking these thoughts. I keep thinking bad things about myself. I said, can we pray about it? We prayed about it right then. But this is the passage that I thought about. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. You know, we've got to capture rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And I know there's probably somebody here who's battling depression, who's struggling with anxiety, who isn't sure about who they are. But you know what? Jesus tells us very clearly who we are. We are His beloved. We are loved by God. Your greatest identity, no matter what anybody else tells you, is that you are loved by the Savior. You're loved by God Himself. That's who you really are. And when you struggle with some thoughts about how you look or what you think or some of those things that go through our minds that cause us to have depression or anxiety or to feel bad about ourselves, I hope you'll remember that you're to capture those thoughts. You're to capture them and then make them work for you. To teach them to obey Christ. And it's not an easy thing to do, but it is an important thing to do if we're choosing the good fight. Because choosing the good fight has got to start right there in our minds, where we submit ourselves to Christ rather than submitting ourselves to the things that people think of us or to the things that this world says that we should be or to any other expectations besides what God teaches us. Now, I want to use an illustration. I hope it's not too distracting from this. The video should have been right there, but let's see. Is it the next slide or? Oh, okay. There was an amazing fight. In my opinion, the greatest fight of all time. It was called the Thriller in Manila. And one of the boxers in the fight gave it that name. His name was Muhammad Ali. Have you ever heard of Muhammad Ali? All of you raise your hands. Hey, all right, there's a few more. Muhammad Ali, this was something we used to watch when I was a kid. It was boxing. We used to watch that. Anyway, these two great fighters, Muhammad Ali and this other fella who also had been a world champion, Joe Frazier. This was the two of the greatest boxers of all time. And this was their third and their final fight. It was 120 degrees in the Coliseum. Muhammad Ali was in the very beginning of a nasty divorce because of his own sin. And Joe Frazier, he was already blind in one eye at the time of the fight. And after 14 brutal rounds of toe-to-toe fighting, beating the sense out of each other, the fighters sat down in their corners. You see them? And this is Joe right here saying, I can't do this. No. He's saying, I've got to keep doing this. Muhammad Ali is saying, I can't do this. Joe Frazier sits down in his corner and he says, don't throw in the towel. But his trainer, he keeps saying, no, you're done. You can't go back out there. Muhammad Ali on the other side of the corner, he sits down and he says, I can't go anymore. I feel like I'm dead. I'm not going to throw in the towel. And his trainer says, I'm not throwing it in. Then something happens. Joe Frazier's trainer throws in the towel. Even though Joe wasn't finished fighting. Muhammad Ali was beat. We know him by his nickname, right? The greatest of all time. The greatest. He was beat by Joe Frazier that night. But nobody knows it. Because Joe Frazier's trainer threw in the towel too early. He gave up the fight too quick. Now think about all the different fights that were happening in these two men's lives at that moment. Not only were they fighting each other, they both wanted to be world champions again. And here they are fighting with one another over that. But then they get to their corners and the people who are supposed to be their allies, the people who are supposed to be helping them, encouraging them, are both arguing with them about their desire of what's going to happen next. So they had fights in their own corners of their rings. They also had fights going on in their lives. One because of his sin, the other because of his physical impairment. There's so many battles that each of us face. The one who actually won the fight ended up not getting the crown, did he? The one who actually won the fight went away a loser because someone else threw in the towel. I want to tell you something. You better choose the right fight, the good fight. Don't fight over things that don't impact the world spiritually. Don't fight over things that aren't going to lift up others in their faith. Don't fight over things that are going to keep people from seeing Jesus in you. Choose the good fight, the fight of the faith. You know, the Greek word for fight is where we get our word for agony. To strain with every fiber of your being. Now, when we think of agony, we don't think of fighting, right? We think about being in distress or being in pain. This is agonizing, right? Or maybe listening to our parents' music. This is agonizing. But the Greek word, this is what he's talking about as a fight. That this is a battle. And so this idea of a fight is coming from this idea of agonizing. What is it that you agonize over? What is it that is a battle for you every single day? And if you're agonizing over things that don't matter, stop. If they're not impacting your spiritual walk with Christ, stop. Choose the right battle. That's one thing that Jesus set us an example of doing among many others. But this is for one thing. He said, let's make sure we're on this right path, on the path that leads us towards God and teaching and helping others as they grow in their faith. Let's make sure that we choose the good fight, the fight of faith. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "There, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves His children too. We know that we love God's children if we love God and obey His commandments. Loving God means keeping His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith." This victory is yours because of faith in Jesus Christ. Christ has already overcome. Christ has already won the victory. Now, are you going to put your faith in Him? Are you going to choose the right fight? Secondly, we always fight for what we love, don't we? Notice, in context, which fight Paul warns Timothy to avoid just before his admonition to fight the good fight in 1 Timothy. Do you notice which fight that the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to point out to Timothy before he gets to that statement, fight the good fight? The one that he says, this one is not as important as faith. It's 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. People who long to be rich fall into temptation. They're trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, craving money, have wandered from the truth and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So fight the good fight. Instead of that one, fight the good fight of faith. Instead of chasing after a dollar, instead of being envious of someone else's financial status, instead of being envious of some other possessions that someone else has, instead of always trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to see what others have and then trying to look like that, how about we try to look like Jesus? How about we fight the battle that's more important than status or appearance or image or money? He says this is what's less important than following Christ in the fight for faith. You know, the only thing that works in overcoming our obsession with money is letting it go. The only thing that works when it comes to our obsession with being like the people who we look up to or the people who we want to be like, but the only thing that overcomes our desire to fit in to this clique is when we give those things away. That's really it. When we give them up, when we get rid of them from our lives. In Luke 6:38, Jesus said, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." Now, yeah, he's talking financial, okay? But isn't he also talking about all of our other blessings? All the other things that we have in this life that we need to let go of so that He can give us even more? Did you ever sing the song when you were a little kid, "Love is something if you give it away"? Love is something if you give it away. You always end up having more. So let's give it away. Let's make sure that we live life with open hands, receiving from God what He's pouring into our lives, but always ready to give it to be used for someone else. Because the stuff you have isn't just for you. The things that you have, it's not just for you. It's for you to be using for His glory. Anything that you possess, anything that is yours, is only yours during this life. Because there's going to come a day when the casket closes. None of that stuff's going to be there, is it? It all stays here. It's just yours for a time. It's yours to be used for His glory. Not your own. Not for this world. But for eternity. Choose the good fight. Because you always fight for what you love. So make sure you love the Lord. And you love the faith that's leading you closer to Him. And last, fight the good fight of the faith. Make sure that the faith is what you are making sure is number one in your life. Do you remember when Jesus agonized in the garden in Luke 22? When Jesus agonized, when He fought for you. He agonized in the garden. Luke 22:41. It says, He walked away about a stone's throw. He knelt down and He prayed, "Father, if You're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from Me. Yet I want Your will to be done, not mine." Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened Him. And He prayed even more fervently. And He was in such agony of spirit that His sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. In that moment, Jesus was fighting for you. He was fighting for you. He was giving you an example also of how you should fight. Of the passion that should go into your spiritual warfare. The passion that should be a part of your life as you grow closer to God. As you become more like Jesus. You should agonize over spiritual things. Not just the things that you notice around you. Like which car your friend might be driving. Or which clothes they might be wearing. Or which shoes they have, or how their hair's cut, or all the other things that we notice every single day. He says, don't agonize over that. That's not a battle worth fighting. What you should be concerned about is that friend's soul. That friend's eternity. That friend's understanding of the truth expressed through Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. Fight the good fight of the faith. Because our faith is in Jesus. And it's because He rose from that grave and He conquered sin and death. This is the fight worth living for. Living for Jesus. Matthew 22:37, it says that He replied, "You must love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind." Well, I tell you, if we offered the invitation right now, and if we really thought about loving the Lord with everything we have, we'd all have to respond, wouldn't we? Because every day we chase after things that have nothing to do with our spiritual life. Every single day we occupy our mind, even sometimes when we're sitting around with other Christians trying to concentrate on Christ, and our minds chased after those things of this world rather than being focused on the things of God. So often we get tripped up because of our flesh and we fall into this idea and these thinking the wrong thing. In Galatians 1 and verse 10 it says, "Obviously I'm not trying to win the approval of people. I'm trying to win the approval of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant." It says either you're a servant of Christ or you're a servant of other people. I want to choose to serve Christ. I want to fight the good fight of the faith, not some other fight. Now, I tell you, I think there's two things that seem to continually creep up in our good fight. Two things that as we're fighting the good fight, even though we're focused on our faith, even though we're focused on Christ, two things seem to creep in to the lives of Christians over and over and over. The first one is confusing faith with a feeling. We think we're going deeper, right? But we're actually sabotaging our faith. But we can't know anything by how we feel. We feel a certain way based on what we know. You see, it's a preference for spiritual experiences at the expense of studying the Bible. Because studying the Bible requires some effort. And so we say, you know what, I want the feeling, but I don't want the preparation. I don't want the work that goes into producing the feeling. I just want to skip right to the feeling. It's kind of like what we say about work, right? We'd rather just get to Friday and get the paycheck. But he says, you know what? It takes time. It takes effort. It takes honesty and integrity to grow spiritually, to become more like Him. Because it doesn't just happen automatically. It is agonizing. It is a fight. And if I'm not agonizing over spiritual things, I need to re-examine my life. And I need to really consider if I'm actually following Christ or not, because He agonized for me. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 tells us there that the human heart is the most deceitful among all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? He says your heart is going to lead you astray. But what does the world say? It says follow your heart, right? And always let your conscience be your guide. The Bible says no. No, don't follow your heart. It'll lead you the wrong way. It's not in man to direct his steps. It's in the Word of God. So submit to the Word of God. Rather than allowing your thoughts to control you, you make sure you capture your thoughts and bring them to the obedience of Christ. Because faith is grounded on a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Feelings, they come and they go. But Jesus, He doesn't change. In 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, I want you to work so hard that you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly explains the word of truth. Can we stand before God and say, I'm giving you everything I have, all of my heart, my soul, my strength. I'm loving you with all of my mind. I'm seeking you with all that I have within me. Can we be ashamed before Him, or can we stand there boldly in the love of Jesus Christ? Don't confuse faith with a feeling, because feelings come and go. The second thing that I think trips up Christians is confusing faith with knowledge. Now hear me out, because this one's a little bit tricky. When we confuse faith with knowledge, it is possible to know the Bible and not know the God of the Bible. In James 2 and verse 19, it says, you say you have faith, for you believe that there's one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. It's possible to know who He is, but not know Him. It's possible to confuse faith with knowledge. And in the church, too many have been educated beyond our level of obedience. We know a lot of stuff, but we don't do anything. We're more interested in having debates and intramural competitions with other Christians at the expense of living among the lost and dying people who Jesus came to seek and to save. And too often, when we choose this fight, this wrong fight against each other, when we choose the fight of saying, well, I know more than you do, or this is what I think, or this is what I think, rather than submitting to what God has said and then serving Christ among the lost, among those who are in desperate need of His gospel, then we've messed up and we've missed the heart of the gospel. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, it says, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you're careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. You blind guides. You strain out your water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you're swallowing a camel instead. Here we are in a lost and dying world of people who desperately need Jesus. And we're confusing faith with knowledge. It's like shadow boxing, isn't it? Shadow boxing is what boxers do as they're getting ready for the fight, right? It's a practice technique. And they get in there and they maybe in front of a mirror, right? They're boxing. A lot of our guys who are sitting here right now, they've done this. You know, they just look at the mirror and they punch and they look at their muscles and they say, yeah, yeah, buddy. Oh, yeah, yeah, buddy, baby boy. I'm looking good, right? We look in that mirror and there's shadow boxing going on. But if we never take that shadow boxing out into the street, if we never take it into the ring, if we never actually box, if it doesn't prepare us for real action, then it's worthless. Isn't that what we're doing here to some extent? When we're here, we exalt the name of Christ and we praise Him and we have this worship that's going on. He tells us that there's also a edification that occurs. But if that's all we ever participate in and we never take it outside of our buildings, what good is it? It's just like shadow boxing. It's just like punching in front of the mirror, but never actually punching anything, but never actually becoming what we were supposed to be. And all the planning and all the studying and all the preparation, it means nothing if it's not taken to school with us, if it's not taken to work with us, if it's not shared with our family and with our friends. The great theologian Mike Tyson once said, "Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth." We've got a lot of plans in the church, don't we? Evangelism plan, benevolence plan, how we're going to meet these needs, how we're going to meet that need. Let's actually do it. Let's make sure that each of us individually are accepting the challenge, the fight of faith. The good fight for the right faith, for the truth of Jesus Christ. You see, ministry to the world is much more than church attendance. It's meeting the needs of others so that you can meet their spiritual needs. And I want to encourage you to refuse to participate in the worthless church wars and make sure that we are about seeking and saving the lost. That's the good fight. When we were first getting started, we looked at Ephesians 6 and verse 12. It says, "We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places." Don't throw your towel in too early. You face an amazing opponent. An opponent that wants to steal your soul. An opponent that's going to use everything in his power to keep you from living like Christ. An opponent that's going to use even the blessings that God gives to you to try to turn them into curses to keep you from seeing God for all the things that you have. Don't let him do it. You battle. You battle against him. You stand up to him. And you make sure that you fight the good fight. Don't let anybody throw your towel in. Because you see, Jesus, he didn't throw his in for you. He gave his life for you. And he did not die to build a church that was more concerned with who it's trying to keep than who it's trying to reach. So, I want to encourage you to write someone's name down. To write a name down. To make sure that there's someone in your life who you love enough to share the gospel with. To make sure that you are ready to not only get in the ring for someone else, but to agonize over their soul. To pray to God to give you an opportunity that you can share the truth with them. That He would open their hearts for them to understand Jesus. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. The gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The one that you obeyed when you became a Christian. The gospel that they need to obey. So that they might also enjoy a hope of heaven and a life of fighting the good fight. If you're here tonight and you've never obeyed that gospel, we hope that you'll do it now. We hope that you'll make that decision to put Christ on and get in the ring and agonize, fight the good fight of the faith. Whatever your need is, won't you come while we stand and we sing?